Delta and Northwest execs are full speed ahead with merger plans. Congressman Oberstar doesn't want his state to lose Northwest. And pilots at United and Continental threaten to block that merger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 17, 2008. The proposed merger of Delta and Northwest Airlines hasn't even landed in the in bin at the Justice Department, but CEOs Richard Anderson and Doug Steenland are plunging ahead confidently. Delta CEO Anderson is the former CEO at Northwest, and Steenland, his former number two man, holds that post now. USA Today reports the two old friends have embarked on a massive public relations campaign this week, ignoring for now criticism from lawmakers worried about reduced competition, higher ticket prices, and closings of hubs in their districts. Most industry insiders believe the merger will pass muster with the DOJ by the end of the year. Executives at Delta and Northwest believe the teaming of their two airlines, which directly compete on only 12 domestic routes, should move smoothly through the process. One of those aforementioned lawmakers concerned about the effect of the merger on his home district happens, unfortunately, to be the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Minnesota Democrat Representative James Oberstar said Tuesday he'll try to persuade the Justice Department's antitrust division to kill the deal, saying it would crush competition. Apparently not at all shy about using hyperbole, he calls the merger, quote, the worst development in aviation history. The so-called low-fare carriers will not be able to compete, unquote. Oberstar's state includes Northwest's current headquarters in Minneapolis. The combined carrier would be headquartered in Atlanta. If he's trying to claim that shift makes this the worst development in aviation history, he may not get much backup from his colleagues. Senator Johnny Isaacson, who, being from Georgia, strongly supports the merger, predicted that despite local concerns about job losses, most members of Congress will support the merger because they fear spreading bankruptcies. The debate among lawmakers will pit provincial interests, such as Oberstar's, against a much larger faction which does not want to face pressures to bail out the aviation industry with taxpayer dollars in years to come. Apparently learning little from what just happened to their comrades at Northwest, pilots at United and Continental say they will attempt to block any merger between their carriers that fails to take employees into consideration. Airline Pilots Association Master Executive Council Chairman Captain Steve Wallach of United and Captain Jay Pierce of Continental said in a joint statement they demand to be treated fairly and equitably in a merger. Quote, pilots on both sides of a merger must be fully involved and will play a significant role in the acceptance or rejection of an attempted merger, unquote. The pilots may be in denial if they think they can stop a merger their employers now believe is a matter of survival. Analysts criticized pilot groups at Delta and Northwest for failing to settle seniority issues among themselves when they had the chance. Delta eventually reached a deal with its pilots, which will raise pay and provide stock to employees, but it's not clear how Northwest pilots will be integrated. And speaking of integration, when it comes to the combined aircraft fleet of the new Delta, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer wonders whether the deal will become a windfall for Boeing, Delta's manufacturer of choice, or for Airbus, which counted Northwest among its best customers. So far, Delta CEO Richard Anderson, who is going to oversee the merged carrier, isn't saying, quote, you are basically going to have a very balanced fleet between Boeing and Airbus, and we would expect that would be the case going forward, unquote. While there would be no real advantage in dumping perfectly good Airbus A319s, A320s, and A330 twin jets in the current Northwest fleet, that airline's thirsty, prehistoric DC-9s are seen as likely candidates for replacement as soon as possible. Delta's MD-88 and 90 narrowbodies also face a questionable future in a world filled with $100 oil. The paper says many pundits agree on one prediction. Northwest has 18 Boeing 787s on order, with options for 50 more. With Delta's Anderson set to become CEO of the merged airline, it looks like a safe bet those 50 Dreamliner options will get exercised. As you might imagine, anything which impacts Boeing is of great interest to readers of the Seattle PI. Up next on ANN, the DOT has good news for bumped passengers. 2007 was a safer year, except for on-demand operations. And United is still struggling to pass on its fuel cost increases. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 17, 2008. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. It's not exactly a passenger's bill of rights, but U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters Wednesday did announce new measures to strengthen airline passenger protections, improve consumer choice, and reduce congestion. Included is a doubling of the limits on compensation airlines must pay flyers who are bumped from oversold flights, and operational improvements to cut delays this summer. Starting next month, flyers who are involuntarily bumped would receive up to $400 if they are rescheduled to reach their destination within 2 hours of their original arrival time, or 4 hours on international flights, and up to $800 if the arrival is later than that. The new rule also covers aircraft seating 30 people or more versus 60 seats and up before. The payments are determined by price of the ticket and length of the delay and are on top of the value of the passenger's ticket, which the flyer can use for another flight or have refunded. Secretary Peters also announced new flexibility for aircraft to fly an escape route into Canadian airspace from the New York metro area to avoid summer thunderstorms and high winds. The FAA will also open a second westbound route for aircraft taking off from northeastern airports, providing a parallel route along one heavily traveled aviation corridor. Noting that traffic caps at New York's LaGuardia Airport have not moved it out of the top three most delayed airports in the U.S., DOT has proposed supplemental rulemaking which would set a limit on operations per day and auction the slots to airlines. Peters says the DOT will hear directly from travelers how they're being impacted by problems in the air travel industry during a series of aviation consumer forums. The first is scheduled today in Miami to be followed by public meetings in Chicago and San Francisco in the near future. On Wednesday, the National Transportation Safety Board released preliminary aviation accident statistics for 2007. While the overall number of general aviation accidents rose from 1518 in 2006 to 1631 in 2007, the number of fatalities in 2007 was down from 703 to 491. That 30% decrease resulted in the lowest annual total in more than 40 years. Among flights conducted by Part 121 airlines using planes with 10 seats or more, there was only one fatality. It involved a non-scheduled aircraft when a mechanic was fatally injured while working on a Boeing 737 in Tunica, Mississippi. No fatalities occurred among Part 135 commuter operators flying with fewer than 10 seats. There was bad news. According to NTSB records, on-demand flights, including charters, air taxis, air tours, and medical services with a patient on board, accounted for 43 fatalities in 62 accidents. That's up from the 16 fatalities in 2006. Reacting to oil prices that topped $114 a barrel earlier this week, United Airlines increased its domestic fuel surcharge by $10 to $20 per round trip. That's on top of a separate jump in United fares last week, which the Associated Press said the airline also blamed on rising fuel costs. United's announcement marks the 12th time this year that airlines have attempted to raise ticket prices throughout their networks, according to FareCompare.com. Not all those hikes have been successful. Website CEO Rick Cini says it's 50-50 whether the latest one will stick. Quote, "My gut tells me that this attempt may not make it, but I cannot rule out the possibility of a major matching in the next 5 days," unquote. United now says it will spend $2 billion more than expected on fuel this year. The Southwest fatigue crack fiasco has moved out of the enforcement arena and into civil courts. Four Alabama passengers filed suit against the carrier last Friday, saying the company broke its agreement with travelers over a six-year period by transporting them on planes that had not been checked per federal guidelines. The AP reports the suit is based on language in Southwest's own contract of carriage. That line reads, quote, "All transportation is sold and all carriage is performed, subject to compliance with all applicable laws and governmental regulations, including those of the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Federal Aviation Administration, and the Transportation Security Administration, many of which are not specified herein, but are nonetheless binding on carrier and all passengers," unquote. Oops. Want to get away? The flyers are represented by Birmingham attorney Lou Garrison, who says, quote, "Fortuitously, of course, nothing happened. Everyone arrived safely at their destinations. But that doesn't change the fact that Southwest did not comply with its obligations," unquote. Garrison said the class action suit primarily asks for reimbursement for tickets on flights in that period and could ultimately be joined by hundreds of thousands of additional customers who traveled on Southwest aircraft from January 2002 through March of 2008. The group also seeks punitive damages, saying Southwest behaved negligently. A spokesperson for Southwest would say only that the airline does not comment on pending litigation. Still ahead, Galois wants Eves to become an American citizen. Diamond Aircraft flies D-Jet number 003. And the FAA's maintenance crackdown hits one of the little guys. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 17th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. Oh, the French unions aren't going to be happy with this one. Eads CEO Louis Galois has been watching his company's profits get pounded by the growing disparity in value between the euro and the U.S. dollar. He told the Associated Press Tuesday he wants to transform Eads North America and make it, quote, an American citizen, unquote. Galois says he wants Eads to meet U.S. security requirements and acquire and partner in sites in the U.S. or in other dollar-based countries, or otherwise transfer the company's activities outside the Eurozone. One big step already taken has been Eads' partnership with Northrop Grumman on the KC-45A, a new aerial refueling tanker which recently beat a Boeing design to win a U.S. Air Force contract for 179 planes, worth $35 billion. Boeing's protest of that award will bring a ruling from the U.S. Government Accountability Office by June. Galois says Airbus has already sold 400 new jets in the first quarter, towards its goal of 700 for the year. Coming off a huge 2007 for both Airbus and Boeing, Galois noted air traffic growth in Europe and the U.S. is slowing, but remains strong in Asia and the Middle East. Diamond Aircraft Industries announced on Tuesday its D-Jet serial number 003 completed its first flight, marking another important milestone in the program. Chief Test Pilot Daniel Ribeiro departed Diamond's facility in London, Ontario, for a successful 1-hour, 25-minute flight. The company says the flight went, quote, exactly as planned with completion of all test cards, unquote. DJET 003's initial test program will focus on performance and handling refinement, but will also be used to further develop avionics, fuel, autopilot, and anti-ice. Later this year, 003 will be retrofitted with a Williams International FJ33-19 engine to begin testing with a production configuration power plant. Diamond says the D-Jet is designed to be the ideal personal light jet for pilots stepping up from high-performance piston singles, twins, and light turboprops, or downsizing from expensive-to-operate older, light business jets. A small regional operator appears to be the latest airline to have its operations negatively impacted by the FAA's renewed interest in monitoring safety records. Trans-States Airlines, which flies 50-seat Embraer regional jets under American Connection, U.S. Airways Express, and United Express banners, grounded 24 planes on Wednesday. Passengers were affected starting Tuesday night as customer service personnel at Lambert St. Louis International Airport worked to find seats for passengers before the grounding went into effect. Some of those passengers wound up in hotels for the night. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that 10 American Connection and one United Express departure from St. Louis had been canceled as of 4 a.m. Wednesday morning. Trans-States says its internal audit found discrepancies in checks of nose-wheel steering systems on its ERJ-145s, but says the safety of the planes was not affected. And finally, Burt Rutan, who for years has been famous in the experimental aircraft world, is breaking out to a bigger following. The National Space Society announced on Tuesday, Burt will receive the biennial Robert A. Heinlein Memorial Award for Lifetime Achievement in Aerospace. The award will be bestowed upon Rutan by CNN correspondent Miles O'Brien at the gala dinner of the 27th Annual International Space Development Conference at the Capitol Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. on Friday, May 30th. The award is named after the visionary science fiction author and honors those individuals who've made significant lifetime contributions to the creation of a free, spacefaring civilization. Voting is conducted among the entire NSS membership. NSS selected Rutan not only for his design of Spaceship One and Spaceship Two, but also for White Knight One and White Knight Two. Those designs point the way to future high-speed air launch systems, which could greatly reduce the cost of reaching orbit. Outside his recent commercial space efforts, Rutan is most famous for his design of Voyager, the first plane to fly around the world without stopping or refueling. After graduating third in his class with an aeronautical engineering degree from California Polytechnic University in 1965, Rutan worked until 1972 for the U.S. Air Force at Edwards Air Force Base as a flight test project engineer. Then, after 2 years as director of the BD Test Center for BD Aircraft, he struck out on his own with the creation of the Rutan Aircraft Factory. From a base in California's Mojave Desert, Rutan designed a series of well-known canard pusher aircraft, beginning with the Rutan Verivigan. In April 1982, Burt Rutan founded Scaled Composites, which has become one of the world's preeminent aircraft design and prototyping facilities. Now that you know all that, doesn't that ticket to Theater in the Woods stand out as an unprecedented entertainment value? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Speaking of aviation legends, our topic today is the A. Scott Crossfield Aerospace Education Teacher of the Year Award. Started in 1986 by the test pilot they called the fastest man alive, the award is now administered by the National Aviation Hall of Fame, and you're invited to submit a nomination. Find out more in my chat with Scott's daughter, Sally Crossfield Farley. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.